It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what is life like when you see ghosts wherever you go? Did a pregnancy spark paranormal activity? And were bunk beds responsible? Oh, that was a shitty ding. Let's try. Much better. Were bunk beds responsible for another haunting? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Support our show. Become an EPP. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show, and a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book. That's a $14 value right there. You get it for $5 when you sign up. All of it. $5 a month to become an EPP member. You go month to month to a full year, whatever you want. But you come out ahead immediately with the book there. Just go to ghostpodcast.com or our other Patreon site, which is patreon.com/realghoststories. All the same content on both places. Just kind of depends what you want to do. Patreon has a lovely little app system there for downloading the episodes and stuff. So some like that, some like going right to the website, either work. And there you go. As long as you have an internet connection, that's the key thing.
Okay.
Because you need the internets to hear our show. We are on the world wide webs these days. It's a fast-changing planet. We're also on Prodigy, which is a... remember Prodigy?
I forgot about that.
Prodigy. I searched Hotbot for that the other day. And remember Hotbot?
Uh-uh.
That was another one. Sounds like a porn site now. It's like Hotbot. B-O-T. It was like Hot... There was Hotbot. There was Lycos. There was... Prodigy. Where were some of the other search? There used to be like 30 search engines. There was a gazillion places you could. Yahoo was the big one.
Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves. That was is Ask Jeeves still around?
I don't know.
Ask Jeeves.
That was high school. That was big.
Ask. I had a co-host who he named Jeeves. Ask.com is still around. It's called Ask.com.
Okay.
I had a co-host, Jamie. We called him Jeeves on the air. And because it was like kind of a thing. It was like, oh, the smart butler or something is, you know, what Jeeves was. So yeah, there used to be like so many different ways you could find crap online. And now it's, everybody's, I think Google will ever like fade and then like Yahoo will magically reemerge as, or something will reemerge as the,
I don't know. Cause I mean, people don't say, oh, I searched online. They say, I Googled it.
Yeah.
Google is now the verb used mm-hmm. to describe the act of looking for something online. So it's kind of like Band-Aid. It doesn't matter what brand you buy. Yeah. You bought a Band-Aid. You put it on.
And we says, hand me a puff.
What?
Puffs. Kleenex is, but there's puffs as well.
Yeah.
Nobody says, hand me a puff.
No, it's hand me a Kleenex, right. No matter what.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I was a holdout of Yahoo until 2012,
uh-huh.
right around there. And then I eventually had to kind of go over to the dark side of Google, but it is what it is. I'm sorry. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to our first story here of the day. Because I know this may sound like a dragged out story, but I have a homeless friend named Greg that I haven't seen for a bit and wondered what happened to him. I decided to call up a few shelters until I found one he was staying in just to make sure he was all right. They don't typically want phone calls, so I made up this dumb story about him leaving his medication in a store and pretended to work there. Typical thing where I basically told him that it was me calling and he pretended he was going to pick up his medicine the next Monday. It's not often talked about, but those shelters only let you stay there for a week or two once a year. I just want to contact him, but I also wanted him to feel better. I was worried because I know it's tough to be in the situation. I decided it'd be a funny idea to prank call a pizza place near him, and I've worked at quite a few, so I ended up pretending to be from the corporate office and got them 3 large free pizzas. To be honest, I ended up paying for them out of guilt later, but I thought it was cool. I pulled the prank off that didn't harm anyone. There was one bad part about it. Someone in there ended up being allergic and ended up in the hospital after eating the food. I was a total nervous wreck. Greg ended up finding me to tell me what happened. He told me someone got sick and took an ambulance to the hospital, and I felt horrible about it. Then he ended up telling me that it's common with homeless people to accept food, basically saying I didn't put the food in their mouth. The person there had an allergic reaction, but also found out what they were allergic to. It was tomatoes, which this person was eating ketchup and other tomato stuff all the time and never knew they had the allergy. The part that made this more interesting was that it was a woman who had also found out she was pregnant while in the hospital. I guess when you're pregnant, your immune system is a bit weaker. So I don't know how it all works, but it ended up happening. So now I can describe things much better. This lady who went into the hospital said that she saw a vision of her entire family members that had passed on. They told her she was going to have a second chance on life and to raise what she called a gift from God and made a huge life decision. I only know this because I met her and she was at about 3 months pregnant. I felt so bad about ordering the food and getting her sick, but she told me what happened when she went to the hospital and the doctors told her she was pregnant, that she had that vision. Then she told me that she was addicted to drugs for a long time, which is why she ended up homeless in the first place. I guess it was a life-changing experience to find out she was pregnant and her reason to quit doing drugs. What freaked me out more, she told me, she talked to some guy named Al. This confused me like crazy, but she said she talked to him in heaven. This was just me going in person to see if she was doing all right after the shelter when she got out of the hospital. Greg only talked to me on the phone and didn't have a photo for me. And she directly walked up to me when I was there. She didn't know me or even what I looked like, but she told me that it was a blessing. When I asked how she knew me, she said, I looked like Al. That was when it hit me. I had a grandfather named Albert who died around the same time I was a teenager. I don't know how other people would react, but I was nice to her. I think I gave her, whatever, about $50 I had in my wallet and drove home shortly after it happened. The first thing I did was call my dad to tell him about what happened, but he laughed and told me to go to bed. Normal thing for a parent to do. I don't know what to think about it, but I was able to sleep that night. I just wanted to share my story with you guys because it was really strange to me. What do you think?
Well, I think if it was serious enough she had to go to the hospital, it counts as maybe a near-death experience. So I can see that raising or thinning that veil and making her sensitivity heighten. So I don't doubt that she saw people she knew, and if he was, Al was trying to get a message that, you know, that there's another side going through her who's never, she never saw him before. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a sure way to make it real.
Is it a case of everything happens for a reason with him doing the prank and it's all just kind of working together like that?
Maybe. Yeah.
Or do you think Al was working through his grandson to prank the pizza place? Just like possessing, like, I'm going to possess someone to prank call. That would be awesome.
I don't know about that. I mean, depending on what Al's personality was like when he was alive.
That would be great. I would totally possess people and then just have them prank call people and speak through them. And then they wake up like, oh my God, I have no idea what I just did.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Well, I can't get in trouble when I'm dead.
You can't. They can.
Yeah. And? Okay.
That's great.
You just don't do it to people you care about. You just do it to random people.
Okay.
It doesn't matter then. They're random people. They don't matter. Yeah. So I'm kidding. Okay. Kind of. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next one says, my older sister, Sam, rented a two-bedroom apartment on South Park Street in Madison, Wisconsin during her junior year at UW-Madison. There was a beautiful corner window in the living room, but a huge pine tree blocked the window from the busy street. Whenever Sam called me, she'd be in tears telling me about the latest ghostly figure that she'd seen. I'd brush it off my shoulder and roll my eyes at this. After months of Sam begging me to visit her, I finally did. When she opened the front door, my eyes were automatically glued to the hallway, and all the little hair on the back of my neck stood up. Sam gave me a tour of her place, opening closets to show me how much space she had and trying to convince me to move in with her. When she opened her bedroom walk-in closet, I felt goosebumps on my arm. I told her to close it right away because I had a feeling that someone hung themselves in there. At summer, my parents dropped off my two little sisters to stay with Sam. Sam's the irresponsible one in the family. That weekend, she felt so stressed out that she decided to leave the two little sisters at the apartment in a new big city while she went to the club with some friends. My little sisters, Pom and him, were excited to be left alone without adult supervision. At around midnight, he fell asleep on the futon while Pom watched TV until her eyes could not be open anymore. She laid next to him. A few minutes after, Pom was woken up by the sound of clunking and high heels and concrete coming towards the front door. She also heard voices of women talking and laughing when the sound of keys were sliding through the keyhole. Pom was happy that Sam was back. She waited there in the dark, and the front door never opened. Pom dashed to the corner window to look and see if Sam's car was back, and it wasn't. She saw something else. A dark figure was sitting next to the huge pine tree. Pom noticed the outline of the figure to be a little girl who had curly hair and a puffy dress. Pom screamed, waking him up, and both of them, they held each other and cried. Not more than 5 minutes later, they heard voices and high heels on the concrete, and then the front door opened with Sam and her friends walking through the door. The girls never went back to stay with Sam. When I moved in with Sam, we both shared her room. I slept on the top bunk. Sam situated her computer in the corner desk so that when you sat down to use a computer, their back would be facing the walk-in closet door and the bedroom door. Every time I'm on the computer, I have a tendency of turning around because I would feel that someone was looking at me from the doorway. All my friends thought I was going crazy because I was cooped in there with Sam, who they thought was a little bit of a lunatic. They came over once to cheer me up. We were all sitting on Sam's bottom bunk, talking and laughing when we even put a little music on. One of my friends cranked up the music and started dancing. The rest of the girls joined. The music faded shortly. It's as though someone turned down the volume. This happened several times. We got scared and ran out to the living room. We all heard the door slam, and my friend, who ran out last, was screaming. She said she felt something pushing her out, but the door slammed on its own. Months went by. Sam and I got used to living with the others. All our friends still come over to give support to be with us so we won't freak out. Sam saw the figures the most. Sometimes when the figures saw her, they were scared as well. Got to the point where I'd hear Sam talking to herself or cursing and screaming at the top of her lungs. When I ran to see what the matter was, she told me that she was yelling at the figures to go back. The two of us thought we were really losing it until my entire family moved in temporarily for 2 weeks until they could get into their new home. My older brother set up his computer in the living room, and each night after work, he'd stay on it till 2 or 3 in the morning. One night, I was watching David Letterman while he was on his computer. After about an hour, I turned off the TV and headed to my room. Several minutes later, he came in and asked if I turned off the TV. I told him I did. We walked together to the living room, and the TV was turned on, but it wasn't on any channel. It was just fuzzy. He turned it off and headed to bed. Each night after that, the TV would turn on by itself and it'd be fuzzy. He checked the circuits and made sure nothing would trigger it to turn on, even keeping the remote next to him. Still, it turned on by itself. After that started happening, the computer in our room would turn on by itself as well. Nights when I completely shut down the computer and unplugged the power cord, the computer would run itself, even if the power cord was not plugged into the outlets. There was something or someone that was messing with us for its amusement. My little niece, who was only 3 years old at the time, would run around our apartment laughing and playing by herself. When I asked what she was doing, she'd tell me she was playing with her new friend. She was too young to be having an imaginary friend. One morning, I found her in the second bedroom under the covers. I heard her saying that she's going to tell her mom something if her friend wasn't going to behave. When I uncovered the comforter, I found my little niece sitting by herself, but she had scratches on her face, as if tiny little fingernails dug deep into her cheeks. The last week, when my family was to move into the new home, my mom slept on Sam's bed at the bottom bunk while Sam was on her computer. My mom woke up but just was staring around the room, and she didn't stir in bed. She saw a person standing by the bedroom doorway and thought it was Sam. When she looked closer, it was a little blonde-haired girl who was wearing a puffy Victorian dress with a black buckled shoe and a big bow in her hair, standing there looking toward Sam. My mom said the little girl reminded her of Alice in Wonderland, but she had curly hair. The little girl turned around and disappeared into the hallway. That alone answered many questions we had about why we always felt eerie when we were on the computer, or why the computer and TV would turn on. And he was playing with my little niece. We're still trying to find out what happened to this little girl and who she was. When I drive past that apartment complex, I get goosebumps to this day.
Do you think it really was a little girl?
I'm kind of leaning towards it. It doesn't seem like there was anything that was trying to do harm.
Well, it scratched up the living little girl's face.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm kind of leaning towards it was a little girl, but just a mean little girl.
You know, if you're in that same state, that same mindset as being a little girl, and, you know, maybe, you know, you're going to do anything to get attention.
Yeah.
And maybe that was what, you know, she's not thinking I want to hurt somebody, but more so, look, I'm here.
Right.
And if, for the most part, her interactions go unnoticed or there's really nothing at all that happens, you know, maybe it was an unintentional thing where you walk by going, oh, I didn't think that you'd even notice I was here, you know, just kind of flailing your hands around.
Sure.
But somehow it made contact. I don't know. Aside from that, it just almost kind of felt like it was just more of a look at me, I'm here type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. By the way, tickets still available for our show August 11th in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Get them on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. They are limited, handful left, so if you want to go, make sure you get them before they are gone at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? I'm from California. My name's Andre. I just got into your podcast, so I decided to give you a call. Well, I didn't believe in ghosts when I was growing up, you know. But in three separate occasions, my family and I, you know, we experienced the paranormal, you can say. The first occasion was when I was around 8 years old, 10 years old. Me and my brothers used to sleep in the bunk bed. And I was on top of the bunk bed, I mean. I was waking up from a dream, you know. You can say I was hallucinating, but I highly doubt that because I was fully awake, you know. And, you know, for some reason, I turned to the right of where I was. And you can, to this day, it gives me chills. You can see, like, a person's face looking straight to me, you know, at me. And, you know, I just immediately just started screaming to my dad. He came into our rooms and, you know, he thought I was asleep and stuff. I think I even fainted, so scared I was. But what I saw was there was this guy near me, like, probably, like, you could say, like, a foot and a half away from my face, and then he looked at me, I looked at it, or whatever, and it just smiled, but the smile, it was like his whole face lit up. It was like, you know, those neon signs, like that, you know, like, it was crazy, and that was after that, my dad took me to church. He took me to, you know, get the bad spirits out. And the second occasion was we moved out of that house. And we used to share a room, you know, because it's hard in California to live, you know. So we were I was around like 16, I think. We were all in one room. Me and my brothers were in one room too, as well. And we were watching TV, and we live with my other family too. You know, we live with my uncle, and we have two smaller, younger cousins. They're girls, and they always like, you know, playing tricks on us. They, you know, go bother us in our room, you know, mopping our room and stuff. So we never, you know, we never thought it was out of the norm, you know. So so one night. We're watching, I forgot what we're watching something. And then, everybody was awake. The lights were dimmed. We were watching TV. And out of nowhere, the doorknob, you know, mind you, we live in California, right? You always expected something like, say, like an earthquake moved there or something. But anywho, this is what happened. We were in the living room, and out of nowhere, the doorknob started moving, you know, like if somebody was trying to open it, you know. And my dad's a hard believer in you know, witchcraft and what, you know, et cetera, et cetera, like the paranormal. He does believe in stuff like that. He told us great stories and stuff, you know. So he pretended that he didn't hear anything, to not to scare us, you know. So between that, you know, mind you, he didn't want to scare us. So he said, no, there's nothing. It's probably the girl. So my brother, he gets up and he opens the door, and then he goes to the room to where my cousins are sleeping, and they're pretty much asleep, you know. And we're like, what the heck just happened? You know, it was goosebumps and everything. Me and my brother knew there was something. And that was the second occasion we found, you know. You know, I didn't believe in ghosts until, you know, this stuff started to occur. Last encounter on that house was my dad. After that, you know, after that, this encounter started, you know, praying and throwing holy water and stuff. I was coming back from the club, you know. I was probably in my 20s and stuff, 19. I was 19. I was coming back from the club. I wasn't drunk. We went out for some drinks, and you know, I was not intoxicated, you know, so I can, you know, my brother, at this point, we live in the same house when my dad made it into the living room into a room. So my brother was in that half living room, half room, whatever you can say. He was playing his video games, right? He takes his headphones off. You know, my brother always greets me like, well, what's up, bitch? Or like, you know what I'm saying? He always has to insult me. You know, he just takes his headphones off. And our bathroom is a little small bathroom, right? We have a little small reclining, you can say, like the French door type of bathroom window, you know, like a French door opens to the side. And we clearly, there's a screen all over it. So it's hard for somebody from the outside to open it, you know, so. And then it's a pain in the ass. So it was like always coming off and stuff. So he takes his headphones off, and as soon as I walk in, we hear and we're like, "What the heck? Who's in the bathroom?" And my brothers are like, "Nobody." And I was like, "Then who getting me goosebumps when I'm telling you?" He's like, "Then who is in the bathroom?" Like you know, so. So my house is not that big. So the door is like, you can say it's, you can open the door. So I open the door from the outside and I walk back behind, you know, there's washing machines. There's like, you know, the freaking window is still like, probably is like 4 by 2 feet, you know, it's like hard to reach. And for somebody to use that force to open that window, there's something else there, man. There was something else there. And I told my dad, you know, my dad didn't believe, like, my dad believed us, but he didn't want to scare us, like, you know. So he started, you know, praying and throwing holy water. And ever since he threw holy water, this bad spirit started to go away. You know, we didn't have no problem sleeping. We slept like a baby. As you know, as you grew older, you know, my dad remodeled the house and we had our own room, so we were sleeping separately, you know. We asked the neighbors around, and then they had similar things according to them. Because, mind you, I live in a really old house here in San Jose, California, and it was really, really, really scary to find out that the previous owners had... I did a digging around on the internet, and I found out that the previous owners had a lot of domestic violence, and there was a death in front of our house, and there was a lot of death. It was a lot of gang violence at that time too. So there was a lot of death around us too. So that was a lot of dramatic energy. For now, I'm not 100%, you know, believer of ghosts, but you can say there are something else there. There is something else there, and people don't want to see that. You know, people don't want to get scared because I do a lot of digging around, but you know, when somebody dies, there's always that dramatic energy that they don't want to leave this world. They were robbed of their lives. They want to come back. They want to cling to old stuff, old things. You know, so what I think is that there's something else there. There's demons. There's a lot of stuff, you know. There's a lot of stuff in their music. There's a lot of stuff in the, you know, people don't want you to know. They want to keep you in the light, you know, instead of the dark, you know. They don't want you to go and see through the dark side, and you know, because I believe that there's stuff, and there's going to continue to be stuff as long as there's violence and murder. So that's my one theory that there's something lingering around that doesn't want to leave anymore. My dad, you know, like I said, he sprayed holy water or whatever he was praying, and it kind of dimmed out the bad spirits, and they're gone. They're not with us anymore, you know. Right now I live far away from my dad now. He doesn't have no problem anymore. The house is like he says, you know, to ignore it. So we started ignoring it, and it went away, you know. So I think people that experience these and have fear should realize fear attracts them, and that will give them more energy because they're feeding off your fear. So I think that's the reason that we don't have that experience anymore. But it was really scary, you know.
Do you think even good things feed off of the fear because it's energy? If it's like just like Uncle Bernie that's hanging out?
I don't know, because I think fear is the strongest emotion. So sure. I think that if they do feed off of that, it's fuel of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But like what, you know, he was saying, that they started to ignore it and it went away. It wasn't feeding off of their fear anymore. But I think maybe whatever was there was feeding off of all the lingering fear from the violence that had happened before they even lived there.
Sure.
So that's just my thought. We don't know that fear is the strongest emotion, but after doing the show for years, it seems like that's the energy that lingers the longest.
Enough fear to last a lifetime.
Yeah.
With the other one. Yeah. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hey, guys. My name is Kristen. I actually called in a little while ago and told you guys a story about my dad. It was his birthday, actually. And he went to go screw in a light bulb and literally holding the light bulb in his hand. Before he even touches the ceiling, the light bulb goes off. The light bulb's shining in his hand. He and my mom and my brother were all watching it happen right in front of us. We saw this light bulb light up in my dad's hand. It was his birthday. His mom had passed. So I'm thinking maybe that was something. Maybe just passing through, say happy birthday. And then just yesterday, actually, I went to go change my smoke detector batteries. And literally same position, me and my mom and my friend were in my bedroom as I'm changing my smoke detector batteries, and I take the battery out, so the smoke detector is not connected to anything at current moment. Just on the ceiling, the battery is out. I set the dead battery down. I go to pick up the new battery, and I have it in my hand, and the smoke detector goes boop, just beep, out of nowhere for no reason. There was no battery in it, so it shouldn't have been going off, you know? So I don't know. And this is a completely different apartment we live in at this time now, so I'm not sure if it's a family thing or if it's a little busy little ghost popping by to say hey. I'm really not sure, so I just wanted to see what you guys thought. I don't really think I'm super, super sensitive, but, I mean, I do have a family history of people being very sensitive, and sometimes I'll have dreams and, like, they happen in real life, so I don't know if that's just something that I am prone to or what, but let me know what you guys think, because I am apparently electric, so... Yeah, let me know what you guys think. Thanks for listening.
Do you think it's a type of slider effect?
Where it lights up the thing without it having an electric source?
Well, it's happened to a couple of them in that family.
I always like assumed like the slider was like it had the source of a, you know, power that it was pulling off of, but I guess the person could be the source of power.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I'm wondering if it's some type of slider effect we haven't really talked about. That's the first one I've heard of. My other thought is, can EMFs do that?
I don't know. I would venture to say no, at least not for like the period that they're talking about. Uh-huh. But that would be quite a thing.
Yeah.
To manipulate that way. I just keep going back to the thought of Uncle Fester on
sticking the bulb in his mouth.
When I hear the idea of someone who's, you know, just lighting up the light bulb, that's all where my mind goes.
Okay.
To Adam's Family. That's one they haven't remade yet.
Well, I mean, they did the movies, but they haven't done the TV show again.
No, but I'm thinking like it's time to redo the movie now. I mean, it's got to be like 25 years since the movie was remade.
Okay, when you were little, what did you like better, the Adam's Family or the Munsters?
Adam's Family.
Oh, I was a Munsters girl.
Well, I never watched like either of them in television form.
No, I mean, they were reruns when we were kids.
Sure, sure. I never watched them in reruns.
Oh, really?
They were on, but you'd think I would be watching those.
Uh-huh.
I really didn't get into black and white television. I mean, I know, like, obviously black and white was, you know, before our time, but it was in reruns. A lot of things were in black and white. But I couldn't, like, I could not stand a... I enjoyed Gilligan's Island when I would watch it at my grandma's house, but I could only watch the color episodes. Like, I hated watching it in black and white. Like, can't do it. Like, I don't know. I don't know why that is. I've always had a thing where it's like, I don't know. It just was hard to keep my attention. I guess the only way I can relate to it is the same way, like, sometimes the kids, I try and show them a show from our childhood, and sometimes they're just like, yeah, it's as old. You know, I don't know what it is.
You know, I know that it was black and white, but I would get so into it, I would forget that it was black and white.
Sure. I bet I could watch it today.
Yeah. I mean, you've gotten to where you can watch black and white movies now, if it's interesting to you.
Exactly. I'm making progress.
You are making progress.
Kind of going back in time, but making progress. but I like the Addams Family movies. I remember going to the theater and seeing those as a kid. So that's the only reason I say Addams Family over Munsters, just because I didn't have the two to compare like back and forth.
Yeah, well, I always compared them because they're both creepy families.
Wasn't Soap like a creepy soap opera? I never watched Soap.
I don't know.
I believe it was. Just do a quick little. It was like a spoof on a soap opera, but, or maybe I'm thinking of, no, not Soap. There was a soap opera that was based on like a vampire-ish family. Let me see if I can figure this.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and they made a movie.
Yes, that was recently.
Yeah.
Let's type in spooky soap opera.
Johnny Depp was in the movie.
What was it? Dark Shadows is what I'm thinking of. Yeah. I never did watch Dark Shadows. That goes back to black and white days too, but it ran the run dates on it. 71 to 73, but it looks like some of it was black. Was it originally something, another date on it too? Oh, no, 1966 to 71. Okay. So over here was incorrect. So some of it was black and white. Some of it was color, but 1,225 episodes. I've seen that like at the store before, like in a DVD set.
Uh-huh.
But I It'd be kind of an interesting one to watch. I mean, probably like would not be able to keep my attention. I don't know. But anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Tickets on sale for the show in Eureka Springs at the Haunted Crescent Hotel. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. Go to get those before they are gone. Support our show. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And become an extra podcast person. Get all the bonus stuff and keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.